A very good morning to you. How are you doing? Thank you, David, for actually crossing the bar, the mic, to the bigger mic. So, welcome. How are you this morning? The day after when the treasurer have told you where your money is actually going. Good morning and welcome to Unpacking the Day. Welcome to Eagle FM, and this is your number one talk radio station in the land. So how are you, and how are you doing wherever you are in this beautiful, beautiful land of the brave? This is a country that I like no others, and we should be really, really proud of this land of the brave. So good morning to you. Weather this morning, a nice breeze, but well, here in this part of the world, we still expect that by 10, 11 o'clock, we should be on the braai. We will be the one on the braai. We will be bright. So, yeah, but we're getting used to it. That's what happened, you know, when it comes to what is this now, climate change. It's getting worse. Really, 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 it's getting hot on this part of the world. So, good morning to you. How are you doing? So, welcome. And this is Unpacking the Day. My name is Mike Oshovedi. Our time is about 5 minutes past the hour of 8. So this is your daily dose of what's really going on in business, economics, and politics. So every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends, and numbers making headlines. So we keep it clear, a little witty, and always curious, asking the question that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpack what others are saying and spark meaningful conversation so that you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So welcome. If you're just joining us, this is Unpacking the Day and you are tuned into Eagle FM. And good morning to you. I hope you are doing very, very well. Well, today, as usual, we start with our segment on this day in Africa. Unfortunately, today, we actually don't have much of significant event that we could have looked at on this day in Africa on the 22nd of October. But we still have our thought of the day. So what is our thought of the day today? So twisted hand cannot grip well. A twisted hand cannot grip well. So the proverb means that if a person is not honest and trustworthy, others will find it difficult to rely on them. So just like a physical twisted hand cannot hold or grip object properly, a person with a twisted heart or a lacking integrity cannot build strong relationship or achieve their goals. So the proverb emphasizes the importance of honesty as the foundation for trust and highlight that reputation is a person's most valuable asset. So people can generally recognize insincerity from afar. So maintaining truthfulness and integrity is essential for the personal and social success. So this proverb serves as a metaphor reminding us that being upright and honest in a character and action enables us to effectively, you know, grip or hold onto life's opportunities and relationships. While dishonesty or moral distortion weakens those bonds and limits success. So that's our thought for the day, that, you know, when a twisted hand cannot grip well. So hopefully choices and decisions that you make today come from, you know, integrity and you know, and honesty as a foundation of trust. So Good morning to you and welcome. Our time is about 8 minutes past the hour of eight, and it's a Wednesday morning. So, and Wednesday morning today, make sure today, Wednesday morning, it's another day when we have, it's one of the day when our newspaper, our sister newspaper, our newspaper, The Villagers, is out. So, and it's already out. And if you haven't subscribed, so you're missing out. Like the budget, you know, it's being on the front page, the headline. It's actually teasing out, digesting, you know, the budget. So, and that's one thing that we're going to look out. That's something that we are going to look out this morning. And around 8:30, we're going to get an economist just to give us more. You know what the economist is looking at. Sometimes something that we're looking at is not what the economists are looking at. So we're going to get one just to give us, you know, his view of the midterm budget review. So make sure that you don't miss that. And earlier on, David also mentioned that in the newspaper, today's edition of The Villager, there is also where Sankwasa said, where Sankwasa actually was, it's apparently in Rundu. So we're actually saying, I want water in Rundu, you know? I want water in Rundu. So we are going to unpack Namibia's urban water woes, especially looking at that article by Anakrita in Rundu. So, and please, as you can see, it's a bumper, you know? Definitely. Make sure that you don't miss anything. So when we come back, we getting into that first item, that first stories, and leading up to our interview with our guest this morning. So make sure you don't move. You don't touch that. You know, you don't move away. Okay? Just hold on for a few minutes. We will be back.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna I matina omjo. Chikao shafasa na nana nongeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongote samwene. Anageshifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayakudo nirandithoma yoe yongeshefa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashipareki uimwepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma konarahe tatu imu. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano oni aji. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter.
All right. Kunjani Bafoe. Welcome. Good morning. Good morning, Namibia. Good morning, my dear listener. And welcome to Unpacking the Day, where we take the biggest stories and break them down together. All right? That's what we do here. And if it is your first time, well, that's exactly what we do. I'm Mike Oshoveli. And today, we're getting into something that affects every one of us, you know? How our national money is being spent and what it says about where the country is actually heading. So yesterday, now the story we are unpacking comes from the Villager, from the Villager's newspaper. It's a story by Nino Menmavali Hangala, and it's about treasury. Yes, the people managing our national wallet. So now the finance chief, Erica Shafuda, has just tabled the midterm budget yesterday. Now, shifting money around to keep Namibia from slipping into what she called fiscal slippery slope, you know? So, now, the short version that we're going to look at, the short version is that revenue is dropping. The revenue is dropping. Debt is rising, and government is reshuffling its spending to survive the storm. So remember, this is Unpacking the Day. So we look at things that others are probably looking at. All right? So, welcome. So let's go. Now, let's set. Now, Namibia's government planned to spend 89.4 billion for the year 2025-2026, for the financial year 2025-2026. Now, but by the mid-year, the Treasury discovered that revenue had fallen short. So now, by about 10%, so it has actually fallen short by about 10% points. Equal now, that's equal to about 3.2 billion. That's a big hole in the budget. 3.2 billion is actually a big hole in the budget. So it's like you have your budget, your home budget, I mean your household budget, and you think, okay, I have this got much money. And then when you get at certain point, you realize, whoa, I actually don't have that much money. So what are you going to do? So we come after this.
Great news. Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Well, make sure that you download Imba. It will come in handy. Ask for me. I can attest to that. All right. Make sure that you download the Imba app as well. So, yeah, welcome. We're looking at the yesterday, the budget review that has been, you know, tabled by our treasurer. So, one thing that we have found out is that, well, the revenue had fallen short, and with about 10%, okay, and that 10% equal to 3.2 billion. Now, as I said, that's actually a big hole in your budget now. But then, at the same time, imagine when you're now thinking, well, I thought I have this much money to spend, but I realized that with what I'm planning to spend, well, I'm actually short about this much. And then you realize also that, well, but I have also borrowed a lot of money. At the same time, our national debt climbed to 176.3 billion. All right? Now, start thinking. And the interest we pay on that debt, called the debt servicing, you know, has gone up by more than 6% point. So, it has gone up by 6% point, and that is 14.3 billion. Or roughly 16% of all revenues just going to pay interest. 14.3 billion. So now you have about, you know, 14.3 billion, you know, which is servicing debt, and you have a hole in your budget of about 3.2 billion. So the finance ministry had two choices. Eh? Now they have two choices. What do you do? Okay, imagine this is your budget now, your house budget. What do you do? So the ministry have two choices. Borrow more, okay? Either you borrow more or you cut and relocate, okay? So either you borrow more or you cut and reallocate. So the decision, a shuffle, you know, cutting from low performing projects and putting the money where it is urgently needed. Well, So that's actually smart move. So those, you know, urgently needed. So, well, actually now putting the money where urgently needed, and we have two sectors that benefit from that. That's education and health. So you see what happened, what the minister have done, you know, cut and relocate. So that was now that is cutting from the low performing project. I think, and we're going to look at that as well. When we talk about low performing project, well, how do you decide? Did she explain what is the low performing project? You know, do you know what is a low performing project? Or maybe just money taken from somewhere, which is equally important, shifted to somewhere else. So, well, we're going to look at that as well. So think about that too. Now, the government say it found 860 million. That could be reallocated. Okay, it found now 860 million. That could be reallocated. Most of it came from saving on now unfilled vacancies in ministries and offices across the country. So this money here, think like you are now. Here, let's think. So there were money sitting actually there, 826 million. This is now the money that now came from saving on unfilled vacancies. How would that be a saving? When you were supposed to actually to, these are the people that were supposed to be employed, isn't it? Make me understand this now. It is saving on unfilled vacancies in ministries and offices across the country. So this is money actually was planned to actually hire people, to actually employ people which were not employed. So now we call that actually saving. Yes, it's a saving because it hasn't been used. Of course, I can attend it in financial terms. But so what happened to those vacancies? People died or they are no longer important? What happened to that? Now think about that as well. So 826 million. So that could be now reallocated. Okay? So, well, it's kind of like, well, this money, that actually answered the question that I was asking. The, what was that? The, what the project that we're saying, the low performing project, is that considered now as a low performing project? You know, those unfilled vacancies, the unfilled vacancies, are they now low performing? You know? So, I want you to think, is it the case? Is that now, you know, would that be now considered a low performing project? You know? So, now, as we said, the education ministry got an extra of 814 million. Mostly to fund, as I think has been discussed also in the early morning scope, to fund a tertiary education and hire 665 new teachers. So the qualified unemployed teachers, well, 665, so would be employed soon, hopefully. So health also got 185 million to recruit over 1,500 health workers. So, yep. So if you are a nurse or a doctor, we hardly have a doctor that haven't got a job here. Yeah, so, yeah, well, if you are a nurse and you are still on the street, well, there is an opportunity here. So, and that sounds good. It sounds absolutely good. A stronger focus on human capital, you know? Yeah, that sounds really good, okay? But it came with a sacrifice, though. It came with a sacrifice, the development or capital, okay? That was the sacrifice. Budget, that development of capital budget was cut by 9%. It was cut by 9%. That means fewer funds for building new infrastructure like hospitals. So you employing a number of, we need health personnel, health workers, definitely. I mean, we come here every time complaining, you know, even yesterday. So no medicine, no whatever. So yeah, that's a new priority. It's a great priority. So now, as I said, but that also come. This is a difficult thing. I think. Okay, I'm looking in my own position. Thank God that I'm not the Minister of Finance. You know, how do you balance this? It's very difficult. I'm thinking maybe for some people, not those who are money gurus or whatever you call them. So, but I found it very difficult, you know, sometimes to balance. That's why I said now you can look at that. That also came with a sacrifice, the development, the capital budget. So it was cut by 9%. So, and that means now fewer funds for building a new infrastructure, maybe like hospitals, roads, or rural project. So in short, the country is spending more on salaries and services now. At this point in time, the country is spending more on salaries and service, but less on long-term investment. Okay? So, from that, you can see that, okay, it's spending more on salaries and service now, but less on long-term investment. Well, now, think about that now. So, when you look at the bigger picture, let's pause and think about what that means. What does this mean? A budget knows, you know, when I told you that I love numbers, okay? A budget is not just numbers, okay? All right. So the budget is just not, it's not just about numbers. It tells us where national priorities lie. Where does the national priority lies? Education and health are vital. No doubt. That's no doubt, definitely. Those are very, very, very important priorities. And that's where the money is going. So, but when we reduce capital spending, we also slow down investment in the future, isn't it? So we slow down the investment in the future. But the question is also, how do you deal? How do you do with what you have? So, and in terms of that, the economists often warn that too much spending on consumption, like wages and subsidies, you know, create a short-term comfort. So they said, well, that create a short-term comfort, but long-term strain. So on the other hand, if you cut too deep, and that's why I said this is very difficult for a minister. And I think, you know, well, probably that's why she's well paid, hopefully, you know. So if you cut too deep into social spending, the public suffer also immediately, you know. So if you cut too deep into now, you know, like hospitals and, you know, and education, so the public suffers immediately as well. So that balance that I'm talking about, it's so important. But do you see the issues? All right? So, now, the question is reallocation a smart balancing act? Now, when you see that reallocation, is that a smart balancing act? Or it's a sign that we are actually living beyond our means. It could be, you know, It could be. You can think about it. One can look at it and say, well, that's actually a smart balancing act. In one way, you can say that, definitely. All right, given what you have. This is what I have. What do I do with it? Okay? Balancing act. Reallocation is a smart balancing act, I think. But it also shows something. It also shows that we're probably living beyond our means. So, now, historically, Namibia debt level began climbing steadily after 2015. Okay? When the revenue from the, Southern African Customs Union declined. So when it started to decline, that's how our debts level began to climb steadily. All right, so that's where we can stop now. Here, we will continue to analyze, but it will be enriched by the conversation I'll probably have with our guests. So stay tuned, and we will then start up here again later, and you will be coming through also after this.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you. Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutiha, we take it wakaguna, e matina, omjo. Chikao shafasana nana, longeshifa, ya, shiwike moshiwana. E moyao, ota ingongotisa mwene. Anageshifa, ya Namibia, ombitombwa nawa, oronjika. Seithanina, omayakudo, nirandisoma, yoe, yongeshifa yoe, kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashipareki uimepo yomo programa betu. Moambo dengira selma konarahe tatu imu. Datundatu heari hamano tano o niyaj. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. And if you're just joining us, you are tuned in to Unpacking the Day. And a very good morning to you. And thanks for joining us, and thanks for, you know, choosing Eagle FM to be your company, to be in your company this morning. So we talked about the midterm budget review that was tabled yesterday, and we're dissecting it, looking at numbers, and trying to make sense of those numbers. All right. So spoken to my guest, and he said he will be only available around, you know, around 9 o'clock, some minutes after nine. So we will get back to him around 10 minutes past nine. So we continue. So probably we'll just, you know, also still continue to dissect some of the things that we talked about. So now Before I also let you come through in some minutes later. So this reallocation, so what do you think? Is that it's a smart balancing act or a sign that we are living beyond our means? So now, and I was saying that historically, Namibia's debt level began climbing after 2015, when revenue from SACCU started to decline. Now, if you add pandemic on that and drought and a slow growth and you can see. I'm just trying to put on a context, you know, so that you understand what we're talking about. So, the national piggy bank has been under really constant stress, you know. So yeah, I'm just also give you a context to understand where we're coming from. Now today, our debt to GDP, our debt to GDP ratio is floating nearly 70%. Our debt to GDP ratio is, you know, nearly 70%. Now that is well above the 35% safe zone that was the government's target. So that we should be below 35%, that the safe zone, but we are floating nearly 70%. So that is a red flag for, well, even for investors and even for international lenders. That's a red flag if it continues. So now let's get into certain things maybe that aren't really, you know, said, that aren't obvious. All right? Now, so, first, the timing, okay? The midterm budget review comes just a month before the new financial year. All right? And notably, again, ahead of the, well, election season as well. Could the focus on education and health also be strategic? I'm just throwing it in there, so you may think otherwise, you know. So, but we know that that's our important priorities, okay? But these are sectors that directly really touches, you know, voters' life, isn't it? So offering free tertiary education, very important, and more healthcare staffing sound and feel. It feels, so that's, as I said, when you're looking at that, that's good. It feels good politically as well. All right? Just think about that. So, now, second, the risk. Cutting capital spending means slowing growth project, you know? You're slowing the growth project, which could affect employment and also industrial, you know, development. So, for instance, if a fund for rural electrification, for example, or road maintenance are delayed because of less of the cut, that would definitely affect trade, and also that affect business confidence as well. So, which actually would have a negative implication in terms of trade and business confidence. So, yeah. So that's also things that maybe we need to dissect and think beyond what the budget say. So, and third, transparency. Now, while the Treasury promised to trim low-performing project, you know, it's going to trim the low-performing project, I was asking, how are this project measured? How do you measure this low-performing project? What count as a low-performing Okay? So without a clear criteria, it's hard for citizens actually to track whether the cuts are fair or merely convenient, you know? So what is convenient to cut, or is it fair to cut that? So let's say, for example, where the president decided, I'm just giving an example, where he decided, okay, now we're not going to increase the grant, so because we, you know, that's how they cut. It's not a low performing, but it's kind of, it's in that way to say, where do we cut as a low performing? So when we don't have that criteria, it for us as citizens, it's actually difficult to track whether the cuts are fair or are they merely just, you know, convenient. Or wherever the cut that comes, there's impact there. So that's one thing one needs to think about as well. And the fourth is the debt question, okay? With debt servicing costs rising more than 6%, 60% point, Namibia is paying billion just to stay afloat. That money could otherwise, you know, fund new schools, new clinics, you know, small business grant, whatever the case may be. So that's something that also as citizens should be, have our eyes open, looking at how do we spend money? Why our debt servicing costs are rising? Maybe that's a question that we need to ask the expert. So, but we can also look at this a different perspective. Okay, maybe we can look at it from a physical discipline angle. We can look at it from other angles as well. Like from physical discipline angle, the reallocation shows responsibility. The reallocation of funds, it shows responsibility. It's better to trim and redirect than overspend and end up in crisis, you know? So better to reallocate than actually overspending. And that would actually meant you end up you put you in crisis. So by keeping the total budget unchanged, so the total budget is unchanged. Now the government actually stay on track with international commitment to maintain the fiscal stability. So as I said, that reallocation show really responsibility. You can also look at from development, developmental lens, okay? From your developmental eyes. Now, cutting capital investment, we know that can have long-term growth. So Namibia need roads, need digital infrastructure, need water system, need energy project. You know, if we want to attract, you know, attract investors and create jobs, those are the things that we need. But if that capital investment is cut, we're hurting the long-term growth. Yeah. The other view you can look at this is the social justice view. Prioritizing education and health, it speaks to equity, you know? That speak about equity. So the more teachers and nurses mean better service for families, you know, especially in the rural areas. So that speak about equity. So one can look at in that eye as well. But the bigger question is sustainability. Can we maintain free tertiary education and a growing public workforce, if, as we have seen, the revenues keep shrinking? So, if the revenues keep shrinking, will we be able to maintain the free tertiary education, for example? And also, we see that the growing public workforces is also growing. Well, that's for you to think and to debate. So what is our take this morning? So quickly, Namibia finds itself in a financial balancing act, as I think. You know, we find ourselves in that balancing act, trying to meet the public needs without, you know, without piling more debt, you know. So we kind of like limit ourselves within, you know, in what we have. And Shafuta's strategy shows caution and, well, I would call it also compassion, but also exposes how tight the physical rope has become, really. Now, the challenge ahead is not just about cutting and adding money. It is about finding a growth model that lifts revenue sustainably. So because if revenue starts shrinking, we're heading in the wrong direction. So now, whether or not that model that lifted revenue is whether through the maybe tax compliance, could be tax compliance, you know, it could be industrial expansion, or maybe, as we see, smarter public spending. Okay, those are few things maybe that we can look at in making sure that we have a growth model that actually lifts the revenue sustainably. Well, as citizen, this is our conversation too. You know, every line in the national budget reflects a choice about our shared future. Every line. So, are we building for tomorrow or just trying to survive today? So, that's the debate I want us to have on unpacking the dates. Are we building for tomorrow? Or, as you look at the budget, at this review, budget review, are we building for tomorrow, given all things that we talk about? Or are we just trying to survive today? What? Have your say, have your opinion, or other things that I may not have discussed that you yourself have picked up, you know, during the tabling. 0833-66091 is the number you can dial, you know, to have your say. So, let's have a debate, let's talk, let's, you know, let's discuss. Have your opinion, have your, you know, your take on what is happening. So we will have Molly Likukela later on and really go deeper more on this, on the budget. So what do you think? What is your take? 0833-66091 and we're coming to you live from Ondangwa Studio. So give us a call and let's converse.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutiha, we take it wakaguna, I matina omjo. Chikawa shafasa na nana, nongeshifa, ya, ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao, ota ingongo tisamwene. Anageshifa, ya Namibia, ombitombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayaguro ni randisoma yoe, yongeshifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende timemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashipareki uimepo yomo programa zetu. Moambo, dengira selma, konarahi tatu imu. Datundatu, heari hamano tano, oliyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Yes, that's right. This is your number one talk radio station. And if you want to remain connected, make sure that you download the Eagle FM mobile app that you can download from the Google Play and also from the App Store. So make sure that you are connected wherever you are to Eagle FM. And that's the advantage. You could be anywhere and you will continue to listen to Eagle FM. And the other thing is that, so if you miss the episode, if you meet the program, you can always go to the podcast and listen to your favorite program as well. So, and many other features like vacancies sometimes on them, and many reports that current reports on from some institutions. So make sure that you download that right now. So you don't want Oliko ni mesiga ngengi no download doka kaepa koshike ko Eagle FM. So make sure that you do that. 08-333-66091. How do you look at this budget, this midterm budget review? How do you look at it? So do you look at it from a fiscal discipline angle, or do you look at it from from developmental lens? Do you look at it from a social justice view? So how do you look at it? So 08-333-66091. So that's the number you can call, you can dial to get your opinion. So what do you think? So we're talking about in terms of debt. That's one of the, the issues. With debt servicing costing rising more than 6% point. So we actually paying, Namibia is paying billions and billions of dollars, just to say, afloat. So, and as we say, that money could be actually used, could be otherwise fund other projects as well. So how do we get out of that? Okay, so what is your thought? So we also talking about the risk, the other risk of cutting the capital spending means slowing. What it means is also slowing the growth projects, which could then affect also the issue of employment and the issue of industrial development. So those are some of the other side of this, of the budget. When you go a little bit deeper into the numbers, okay. All right. So, what do you think? What is your take? 08-333-66091. So you may come through and have your take on this. So what is our time? It's 52 minutes past the hour of 8. So, and by around 10 minutes past 9, so we will get back to Molly and see if we can, have him. So if you don't come through now, we will have a really quite I will probably have quite a lot of time with him asking questions on a couple of things. So if you have something that you want to say now, please do come through. Otherwise, you may not find enough time later on. A very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, good morning, Mike. How are you?
I'm fine. And how are you, Uncle Bona?
Fine, thank you. Yes, this list, even though we are not maybe good to analyze it in terms of figures.
In terms of what?
Figures.
Yeah.
And this accounting figures and practice.
Yeah.
But from the lay point of view, I think I might also need to comment.
Yeah, no, definitely.
But when you look at the theme of Beyond 35 for a prosperous future, So this tells us that, yes, this budget goes beyond, maybe beyond 2030s and all these other things that they are talking about.
No, this is the budget for 25-26.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Even if it, you know, the budget, because this is also talking about sustainability, economic sustainable development.
Yeah.
And that requires your money for many, many years, for generation to come. And if it is now, this is aligned, because what he's saying is that it must go beyond. When you look at the NDP-6 and how Namibia is strategically positioning herself,
yeah,
in terms of, you know, the broader vision that we have, let's say vision 2030, and people are talking about beyond. Because you cannot just focus on vision 2030, then what? Because the progress has been made, efforts to contribute toward that vision, that bigger vision, that broader vision. So and the priority, what I like most is that we really want to make sure that the alignment,
yeah,
which we have spoken before, that yes, the alignment of the public expenditure to the capabilities, the energy that you have there, in there, to do the work, is quite very important.
Yeah.
Because many a times we see some misalignment there, and in activity, economic activities are not aligned to the budget, hence you see a lot of things, the money goes back and things like that. But in terms of capital projects,
yeah,
which talks to infrastructure, including infrastructure, human development, all those things are very important for operational budget. Very, very crucial.
Mm.
And we are told that the slow pace, when if you connect to this thing, I mean this budget now, with their focus, the focus of the ministry and for each and everybody, when it talks about policy, administration, legal consideration, focusing more on issues that we have been talking about, mobilizing our resources. Because our domestic economy,
yeah,
apparently did not grow.
Yes.
And it's maybe due to some of the factors that we are talking about. Because if you cannot team up, you cannot mobilize the financial or human resources,
yeah,
and organize those resources to deploy them now into those critical areas that you're talking about, because they are also identified there. Strong revenue correction, cost discipline, you have mentioned, I think that's one as well. And this is actually, it's for us now to execute these things.
Yeah.
To execute these things. Maybe the entrepreneurs now need to come in. Those who can seriously mobilize and create strong conviction,
yeah,
within our family. I mean, within our community. Even our family, actually, yes.
Yeah, that's right at the beginning.
People, there are people who also want to create wealth within our family. They are there.
The strong nuclear is the family that leads to now, to the, you know, that's where the whole thing grows from.
That's African, from the African Ubuntu perspective.
Yeah.
So that kind of thing. So I think let's see how these things is going to be done, because for me, I trust in her leadership, and she's an economist, she's a mathematician, so I don't think she will be able to get those figures wrong,
yeah,
in terms of the realignment of these things.
No. Then there's no figures wrong. I mean, she won't present figure wrong on the country, so definitely not.
No. I'm not saying in that manner. All I'm saying is that the gap that you're talking about, even the debt servicing,
yeah,
issue there.
That's
because
a concern.
We are the one to service the debt, isn't it, for our country?
Yeah, that's a concern. Yeah, that's a big concern. Yeah.
So if we can mobilize and collect more revenues and mobilize for resources, especially in human capital, we mobilize ourselves and say, yes, here are infrastructure projects or in community that we can undertake.
Yes.
Say, for example, construction, all these things, schools and whatever. But the problem is that we ourselves, within our domestic economy,
yeah,
even in our informal economy sector, that's why it is her concern and legal consideration to make sure that we reform some of those laws, some of those policies, especially on
Discipline spending. I think that's one thing that she actually emphasized on as well, because
discipline spending is good, it's important, it's ethical, but you have the person, you give the money already to the person before you know the person is not behaving well with the money, it's gone. But on the reform of the policies and act there, look at the municipal bylaw and look at what Ati Sankwasa has been saying. And we have been saying this thing because informal economy is one of my interests.
Yeah.
So we still kill women and running around in the street and what harassed and all these kind of things. So the police consideration is very important. So, Mike, thank you very much. Let's see how the analysts will come in.
Yeah.
You have a lot of economists who give us very good insights.
He will definitely. Yeah, no.
Yes, thank you very much. So we are waiting for Marume there to come.
Yeah, he will be here. All right.
Good.
Great. Very good morning to you. You're welcome. Good morning.
Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm fine, man. And how are
you? Yes. No, I'm great.
Mm.
Only two things I wanted to comment.
All right.
On what you discussing.
Mm.
The money allocated for tertiary education.
Yeah.
For next year. I'm very much concerned.
Why you are concerned?
I'm very much concerned with the way how we do things. Especially here in Africa.
Yeah.
We got independent in 1990. Government has invested in human development.
Mm.
They have given scholarship, they have given loan, they have made it possible for people to be educated.
Yeah.
And most of those people who have benefited from that, They are successful. They were able to be educated.
Yeah.
They have a good job. They have decent salary. And that was the whole idea of the government.
Mm.
So now you are in 2025.
Yeah.
While you have all the investment you have made, which now translated in people in a better position to earn decent income, in 2025, you are still going to avail or allocate funds to pay for the children of people that you have invested money to earn a decent salary.
Statistically,
okay, I'm coming.
Okay. Mm.
Now, people who were beneficiary of government investment, now they are working. They have decent salary.
Yeah.
Why should government today in 2025 still want to give free education for a child that was born by someone with a decent job?
Yeah.
Why?
So how would you now separate those who have decent job from those who doesn't? Yeah, because
Mike, don't ask that question. That question is not fair.
No, that becomes a contention. How do you now say, well, your child is not going to have a free education because you are a teacher, for example, or you are a doctor, or whatever the case may be? Because the free education would also, by this time, is also to access higher education to poor family, to disadvantaged communities and things like that, who are coming from a disadvantaged background.
Okay.
So
now,
what happened to them if you say this is not going to be free? So you also then disadvantage those who who may
no, no,
distribution.
You did not get my point. I'm referring to people who have benefited from government investment to develop themselves, and they were successful in developing themselves such an extent that they got a decent job.
So you're actually suggesting that there should be some kind of a database looking at that these are the people that have been, you know, government have helped, and they have a decent job.
Not even government have helped. I'm referring to people who are in the position to pay for their children's education should not benefit from this free education.
How do you I understand what you're saying, and you make a point, because that means those who have should support those who don't have. Actually, I would agree with that. But what system will you put in place to actually make sure that that work well?
Okay, what system? Do you know that when NASA started, there was one of the most important requirements is for a child to submit her parents' payslip.
So that's, are you there?
Yes.
Yeah. Now, let's make it more interesting. You have a child, this guy is married, he has some children outside, you know, about 5 or 7 or 8 children, you know, and some of those children doesn't even support them. So what happened to that child?
Would you
force him now to do that?
You are telling me that we don't have we cannot afford to develop a system that trace or identify the parents who can afford. Is that what you are saying?
Not necessarily. I'm just asking because there are nuances that may be a hindrance to that what you're proposing.
Those are things that can be worked out. But my whole idea, my whole argument is you cannot, you know, remember, I'm speaking from the background of where we have scarce resources. We don't have funds. We don't have money. We are reallocating. We are depriving some very important capital projects to take care of this part.
I understand what you're saying. I do understand.
It is not like we have X surplus of funds. You know, it could have been different when we have surplus of funds. We have enough money. But here, we don't have enough money. You have a house where you don't have enough money. And now you are cutting from different projects to meet so that you are able to do this. But at the same time, you are doing it for people, some of the people that are benefiting from the sacrifice we are making, they don't deserve it.
No, you got a point. I'm just asking you to explain more how would that can be implemented. And
okay, the implementation part is something that can be worked out.
Yeah.
I might not give you the exact way how to implement it now, but it's something that can go around. We can sit around the table and find a way. How do we now identify those that are able so that at least they don't benefit from these scarce resources. Remember, it's a scarce resources that is, we don't have enough fund. We don't. And you when you started with your program today, you say they have to relocate, take it from somewhere so that at least they have fund to put it on the education. But now you have a child of a minister, you have a child of the president, you have a child of a profession, you have a child of somebody who is getting decent. And even the kind of car they are driving is going to benefit from this sacrifice the government is making. What kind of witch? Who bewitched us? That is witchcraft. No, I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry that I was a bit. But it shows that we don't want to think. Either we don't want to think, or it's not. People that are making this decision, they're also thinking of themselves.
Because they know we're chasing our own tail. From what you're saying, we're chasing our own tail. We're not going anywhere. So
we are not going anywhere.
In 3 or 4 or 5 years' time, we will actually now come back again and say we don't have money. We have to, you know, to do something else.
That is not on that issue of education. Something else too. We cannot use the scarce resources to help, to give free education, especially for children who can afford.
Yeah.
for a you're giving a free education for a child,
yeah,
all her life has been attending private school. Can you just imagine?
Mm.
A child who has been, a parent has been able to afford private education all the child's life, and then come to the universities, he's also going to benefit from free education.
Yeah.
Mike, no, me, I'm very angry with this thing. No. I'm very, very angry. No.
Yeah. I think you get a point. You get a point where to say, look, why don't we focus on those who might need, you know, and then we don't have much resources. Our resources are limited. So why don't we focus on the most disadvantaged, group? And then those who can afford, let them, continue paying. And I think it does make sense. I mean, the point
is that is exactly the same thing that is happening with GIPF.
Yeah.
Do you know that those, even somebody who got and you from your private investment and whatever you have gathered, let us say you are getting 50,000 or 70,000 or whatever amount that you are getting. Okay. You know, according to our constitution, you are still entitled to that 1,600.
Yeah. So I'm going to get to the
call. Okay.
To my guest now. So you can come back later after we have after the interview as well, if you want to come.
Okay,
back.
Mike.
All right. Great. Yeah.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the I.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna I matina omjo chikao shafasa na nongeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana iye moyao ota ingongotisa mwene anangeshifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa olonjika seitha nina omayakuro nirandithoma yoe yongeshifa yoe kupikira mo Eagle FM Media House ngoe 20 memeha uka kombanga nina kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa detu Moambo, dengira selma, odara heta tuimu. Datu, heari hamano tano, o niyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, our time is about 11 minutes past the hour of 9. I tried to get him. Maybe he's just ringing. Maybe he hasn't got in the office yet. So we will try him after some minutes. All right. So now, are we building tomorrow? Are we building for tomorrow? Or are we just trying to survive today? So looking at what we, looking at the, when we're teasing out, when you tease out the numbers and, so when you really go deeper into that. So maybe that's one thing that we'll try to find out from our guests as well, those who are expert in terms of economy. So let's hope that he get to the office right now so that we can be able to have this conversation. So, yeah, what is your take? I would love you to come later on. I would like you to come later on after the interview and have your say as well, your contributions. Hopefully we're not going to take up all the time. So I'll make sure that I will leave some, maybe 10 to 15 minutes or 20 minutes, for you to come through as well and have your reaction. So, all right. Let me try again and then, we will, be back. Just stay tuned.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn, our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna imatina omjo. Chikawa shafatha na nana nongeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongoti samwene. Anangeshifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa olonjika. Seitha nina omayaguro nirandithoma yoe yongeshifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uka kombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo, dengera selma, konara hita tuimu. Datu ndatu, heari hamano tano, oliaj. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Yes, that's very true. This is your number one talk radio station. And good morning to you. You are tuned in the Unpacking the Day, where we sit down with voices that help us decode what's really happening in our economy and society. And today, we are diving into some big numbers and even bigger implications from Namibia's midterm budget review, just tabled yesterday by our national treasurer, Elika Shafuda. So revenues, shortfalls, rising public debt, shifting allocations, it's all in there. So to help us make sense of it, I'm joined by an economist, Molly Likukela, a respected voice on fiscal policy and public finance. Molly, thank you for joining us on Unpacking What This Review Really Means for Ordinary Namibian. Molly, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, welcome. Always good to be here.
All right. The midterm budget review is always a moment of reflections. What is your first impression of this year's review?
Two things. Number one, the review just tends to confirm or reaffirm government's underlying commitment towards human development. That means government at all times wants to ensure that the human capital, the human are developed before any other thing. So what we saw yesterday, we saw exactly that. The Minister of Finance that redirecting to address those issues that are directly with human development aspects. That's number one. Number two, we saw a budget that was made under very, very difficult circumstances. Happy that the minister and the team did finally come up with something despite all of those challenges. But this is something that we should always expect. I mean, the minister of her caliber have been around for some time. I'm sure she understood what was exactly required of her. And for me, I think she delivered quite well.
Yeah. Well, the revenue shortfall are down by 3.2 billion. So in your opinion, what behind this drop?
Revenue are driven by various factors that are outside of government's control. These are trade, the economic environment, the economic dynamics. And usually when the economy is not doing well, you can clearly see it from the revenue streams because these revenue streams are attached directly to economic activities. We know that since the COVID-19, our economy and even the global economy hasn't really recovered that much to the level that we are used to. So the revenue that are coming out from those activities were constrained, and that is why we see this shortfall. And as you know, also our revenue basket is heavily determined by what is happening in the Southern African Customs Union, where South Africa is the big player. And whenever South Africa is having some problem, it trickles down to all other countries, including Namibia. And what we have seen is exactly that. So our economy are sort of trying to adjust from what is happening in South Africa generally. And so this is a cause for concern for policymakers.
Yeah. Well, does that shortfall something, that does it say something deeper about how our economy is performing this year?
Well, you see, our economy, like most of the economies in the world, has been performing in response to what we came out or what we went through not so long ago.
Yeah.
So this is to say that the economy has, at the beginning of the year, the economy began to show some signs of recovery.
Yeah.
What this means is that we have not seen a number of big number of businesses closing. But what we have seen is we've been seeing a lot of money coming in through FDI, that's foreign direct investment, to come and boost and spur economic activity, especially in the mining sector.
Mm-hmm.
And we have also seen a booming in the tourism sector. But as you know, the tourism sector makes money at a certain time of the year.
Yeah.
And when that season comes, the activities are also slowing down. So that sort of gave a very good boost to the economy at the beginning of the year. However, we have seen again that towards the middle of the year, we have seen a lot of other factors that have weighed down on our economy. And most of these factors are really external factors. We are talking about the geopolitical issues that affect international trade. We are talking about the worsening climate conditions that continues to weigh down on agriculture. We are talking about, you see, when there is geopolitical issues, even the flow of tourists is affected because tourists are not, they need to be guaranteed safety and stuff like that. Although it is not happening here in Namibia,
yeah,
but the rate at which it's happening globally affects the decision for tourists to come. So we have seen this at the beginning of the year, and there was some optimism, but towards the middle of the year, the environment sort of changed slightly, and so the revisions now are somehow looking at the more downward revisions to say maybe we might not grow as much as we had anticipated at the beginning of the year.
Yeah. Now, the other talking point is the public debt, and is now at 176.3 billion. That's a big number. Should we be worried?
Well, we should be worried and also not to be worried.
Yeah.
Why should we be worried? We should be worried because there is no insight how government is going to manage this big number. What that means is that what is our plan B to tackle this growing debt stock?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's our, that's a main concern for me. Government is yet to come and give us, to come and position itself how it's going to go about navigating this thing. The truth of the matter is that governments all over the world cannot do away without borrowing.
Yeah.
Borrowing is an integral part of fiscal policy. And usually government then attaches a certain plan B, what's normally called a debt sustainability plan. Mm-hmm. So maybe the debt sustainability plan is there. We haven't just maybe delved into it that much, but we are concerned about the speed at which the debt stock is growing. That's number one.
Yeah.
Number two concern is that we are yet to see more tangible output as a result of those borrowings.
Yeah.
What we are seeing is a lot of operational and consumption spending attached to this, and we are concerned because we are beginning to get worried. How are we going to generate money to repay this debt that we have?
Mm-hmm.
Under normal circumstances, the ideal situation would have been you borrow and you build an infrastructure that can guarantee you a future streams of income that you can then use to pay back that money. But we are not seeing much of those.
Yeah.
I know that government is doing quite a lot in that space, but the absence of a very clear picture for everyone to see is sort of makes people a little bit unsettled about the situation.
Yeah.
And we know that government is going to redeem quite a substantial amount of some loans.
Yeah.
And we are saying where that money will come from, it will need to be filled that gap. What is the way forward? So all of these things, you know, sort of send some rattle into people's, mind about that situation.
Mm. Now, the minister spoke about prioritization and reallocation. Well, in simple terms, what does that mean for the average listeners?
Yeah, you see, when you make a budget at the beginning of the year, you make certain assumptions.
Yeah.
That if these assumptions materialize, this is how we are going to do things. And you are operating within those assumptions, within those projections. Now, if these assumptions changes because of changes in the macroeconomic environment, it warrants you that you go back to the book again and say, okay, maybe these resources that we had anticipated to direct in this manner, it's not going to be impactful in achieving our development goals. Maybe we should redirect it this way so that it's aligned with the assumptions that you have made at the beginning of the year. What we have seen now the minister has done is that most of the assumptions are still holding, but the situation has warranted the situation of reallocating to impact, to enhance the impact of the resources at hand. And also, number two, when you make some budget estimation at the beginning of the year, you assume that certain projects will kickstart during that period.
Yeah.
And due to this or the other reason, the project is not starting. You cannot let that money lie idle because that's value for money. You redirect it to a place where it can be more impactful. And this is exactly what the minister has done. Mm. You must understand, a budget is just not numbers. There are faces there, there are humans there, there is reality on the ground. So when our leaders do this oversight in regions to go look at what is happening on the ground, they come back with the report. These reports are the ones that they inform and advise the minister to say, hey, we have been to this and this area. We realize that we are not doing much there. If we have some resources that we can reallocate so that our people can have this and that, can you please do that? So this conversation then begins to form part of the mid-term budget review. It is really a point of reflection to increase the impact of government's, you know, development agenda.
So we want to keep spending within 89.4 billion. So what happened if that ceiling is actually breached?
If that
if we go beyond that amount.
We if this midterm budget is approved, it basically means that by law we should not go beyond. Because this is the law. We can spend under this ceiling. We can't go beyond. What can happen is there are some exceptions within a departmental level where they can do what's called viamentation. Viamentation is where you realize that, okay, maybe we have budgeted to employ 40 people and these 40 people are not yet onboarded and there is scope to do more with the personnel that is already there, then that 40 positions are frozen. What happened to that money? That money is viamented to another budget line.
Yeah.
But within the ceiling. That way, you are not going beyond the ceiling, but you are able to do a lot with the limited resources that you have. So what happened yesterday, we cannot call it viamentation unless we say, okay, it's viamentation at a national scale. What happened yesterday was reallocation from votes from this department to that department. Mm-hmm. But within the departmental, intra-departmental, that process is allowed and is ongoing to help us not to go beyond the ceiling.
Yeah.
But all of these things must be done within the stipulated financial management practices and sticking to prudential commitments because, again, you don't want to viament left, right, and center.
Yeah.
You want to viament only when it's really, really necessary. And the minister yesterday sort of alluded to the fact that a lot of jobs that were planned to be, a lot of positions that were planned to be filled might not necessarily be filled this year.
Mm-hmm.
So the money will be taken to those critical areas which government really believes that this is really necessary. I mean, you saw yesterday we need, the government wants to employ a good number of health personnel, a good number of teachers. These are areas that are really, really critical. And so certain budget line can be put on ice for a little bit so that the money can go to these areas and ensure that development is certain.
The other thing also is that when low-performing projects, as you referred to, low-performing projects lose funding, what signal does that send to the ministries or agencies behind them actually?
Yeah, I think there's we are moving towards a situation where there should be some sort of accountability and responsibility why those projects are not taking off the ground. Because every delayed project, it is a defeat of the whole purpose. if there was a road that was supposed to be connected from point A to point C to save the farmers there, and this road is not built, it defeats the whole purpose. And so whoever is responsible along the value chain must be held accountable.
Yeah.
Now, when the minister is reallocating resources from this capital project to that, the capital owners are beginning to get worried to say, okay, come next year, we might not get these resources at all.
Mm.
And so this calls to action for them to really do everything within their power to get the project started. Of course, there are some issues that are beyond their control.
Yeah.
There's procurement processes that are not within your control that can take things a little bit far. And also there's legal issues involved. Many, many things. But again, you must do everything within your power to make sure that at least the project gets started so that you signal your commitment to delivery. You understand?
Yeah. So education and health, education seemed to be the biggest winner, 814 million added. Why do you think government made that call? Because funding free tertiary education, I think is a very bold move. But the other question is, how sustainable is it in the long term, in the long run? How would it be sustainable?
Yeah, I think for now that conversation might be a bit premature to have the conversation of how sustainable.
Yeah.
I think what we must be talking about now is the signal of commitment to human capital.
Yeah.
Look, Namibia is a young nation. And if we are not going to invest in a young people, we are not going to derive or harvest what is called a demographical dividend.
Mm.
Right now is the time to invest in the young people so that 10 years from now, the dividend is harvested, the reward comes in.
Yeah.
And that is government's focus to say, look, whatever we can do, let us not forget our young people. Gone are the days where money was spent on the older generation who their economic value is beginning to shrink naturally. So now the idea is, the focus is to start early investing in human at an early stage so that you guarantee your dividend once the person have now gotten into a stage where they now begin to be productive. And this is very much in line with Vision 2030. It's very much in line with NDP 6 that all speaks about a Namibian that is able to work, a Namibian that is healthy, a human capital producing country. You cannot do this without taking this kind of commitment.
Mm-hmm.
As to whether it will be sustainable or unsustainable, it's a very important conversation. But for now, let the process start.
Yeah.
Because trust me, there are various factors that are hindering access to education. Some of them that are within the government to say, okay, if registration fee is a hindrance,
mm-hmm.
let it fall. Let government take over that so that a Namibian child can access tertiary education without any hindrance. What will happen 5 years, 10 years from now? That's another conversation. For me, my biggest concern really is the quality. Let us maintain the quality of education for which we are investing millions so that when this cohort finishes, let it not be a situation of mismatched skills and all those kind of things. No. These investments must come with reorientation of the system so that these young people become highly employable. If they are not employed, they become highly entrepreneurial so that we begin to reap the benefit of this investment. Yeah?
Yeah. Now, the budget review cuts the development budget by 9.38%. Should we be concerned that infrastructure project might slow down?
Yeah, in every budget review or in every exercise of this, there's what's called the trade-offs.
Mm.
In economics, we have a term that's called the opportunity cost. You look at what you can afford to sacrifice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what happened yesterday was short-term pain for the long-term gain.
Yeah.
Meaning that those projects that the resources have been reallocated, of course, they're not going to be happy. They'll feel that they won't do. But if you look in the long run, if that 600 million that is directed towards free education or subsidized education, in the long run, it will be a very, very big benefit for the country.
Yeah.
So those are what we call the trade-offs. And there is nothing that anybody can do. You have to sacrifice, because remember, the principle of economics is that resources are limited, but the needs are unlimited. So you have to prioritize. That's why this exercise really, really must be done with a very, very sober mind. And what we saw yesterday is really government trying to say, look, we may be able to sacrifice a road here, a road there, a bridge there, but our people must have access to education, must have access to health, because these are the foundation of human capital development.
Yeah. So you also mentioned earlier, we have also got slower projected growth, now at 3.3% instead of actually 4.5%. What does that slowdown tell us about where the economy is heading?
The slowdown in the economy?
Yeah.
Yes, like I said earlier on, Namibia's economic fundamentals are quite unique to Namibia. We are a small open economy whose growth depends on the appetite of the global economy. If America is struggling, we can see that they will not consume a lot of our diamonds.
Yeah.
If China begins to flood the diamond market with synthetics, that will eat on our diamond. So these are situations that are really beyond our control. And when they happen, they definitely slow our economic growth. However, we need to always have a contingent plan. And that is why, in terms of our industrialization or diversification policy or strategy, we need to look inward so that we are able to leverage on our own. Of course, mining sector is quite a bigger sector. Of course, tourism is quite a bigger sector. But what are we doing for ourselves within so that we are able to counter these forces?
Yeah.
This is what China did some years ago. They looked inward such that even if a bigger country, a bigger consumer of their product comes down with the flu, at least they have something to cover that hole. We need to do that. And this is really our biggest challenge. Unfortunately, it's the way our economy has been wired for a very, very long time. But we can still do something about it. And it's a worrying trend that when things begin to look good and then boom, again, the economy. That's the normal story of economy. It's booms and recession. But you need to smoothen those cycles or those swings so that your economy is stable.
Yeah. The budget mentioned the NDP6 as the guiding framework. So are we still on track with those development goals?
Yeah, you see, development is not a journey that you say, okay, I will be in Oshakati at 2 o'clock and then boom, at 2 o'clock you're in Oshakati.
Yeah.
You're making, like I said, you're making assumptions to say that if ABCD holds, then ABCD will happen. So what we have seen is that there has been major crises that have derailed our development agenda, our development journey. If you look at the erratic weather conditions that have hammered Namibia, that have hammered the Southern African to affect the agriculture sector, which is one of the mainstays of economy, definitely you cannot expect things to go smooth as planned. Not so long ago, we were hammered nicely by COVID. You can't expect programs you can't expect business as usual. And if you look in the past few years, we have registered many severe geopolitical crises that have also weighed down on our development agenda. So yes, it's fair to say we are not really there because of situations that are beyond our control. However, there is still enough room to enhance, to tie loose ends here and there such that we can still count on our development programs, because some signs of recovery, some signs of resilience has already started to appear. And we need to give it time. We may not achieve everything within the 2030 time frame, but we must make sure that we build a strong foundation for which to complete this magnificent work that we have started, you see.
Now, in your view, what is the most encouraging aspect of this review?
Say that again, my brother.
In your opinion, what is the most encouraging aspect of this review? And what is the most worrying, actually, you know?
But in all this, in our journey, I think, like I said, One area that government has not really paid enough attention to was to invest in education at an early stage.
Yeah.
And I think that has begun to change some few years ago. We have seen government putting a lot of money on ECD, putting a lot of money on programs for children so that they build a strong foundation. And like I tell you, if this continue in few years to time to come, Namibia will begin to reap the demographic dividend.
Yeah.
That's number one. Number two, in terms of infrastructure, Namibia has really heavily invested in key infrastructure. Our roads remains top-notch. We have seen a number of infrastructure being upgraded. We have seen some commitment from our development partners committing resources to upgrade our water infrastructure, our energy infrastructure. Mm-hmm. Development takes time, my brother.
Yeah.
And it is not like, you know, I'm going to have breakfast and then we have lunch. No, sometimes they can be derailed. But what is important is you have planted the seed. My only concern, of course, is the slow execution rate of some of these projects.
Mm.
We have, and it's not only physical infrastructure, also the slow pace of our policy reforms. We have lost some very good businesses because of our policy deficiencies in various aspects.
Yeah.
And if this is not addressed, we'll continue losing a lot of FDIs, we'll continue losing a lot of opportunities. And that's why I was happy yesterday when the minister mentioned of those reforms in the new tax laws that is coming to align our economy to be competitive. That's very good news, because then we can know we can compete with the best of the best instead of losing good businesses to Botswana, good business to South Africa because they've got a better tax regime. We will attract those. And with our magnificent environment, I think we will be unstoppable.
Mm-hmm.
So those, for me, are really some concerns around this whole thing. But I'm happy that the seed was planted. It is a matter of just watering, waiting for it to germinate, and we will be very, very far.
Yeah, for a Namibian, for ordinary Namibian now, listening now, so what is one takeaway about how this review might affect their daily life?
Say that again.
If we have now like an ordinary Namibian listening now, what would be one takeaway about how this review might affect? How would that actually? One takeaway.
Yeah. So yeah.
How this might affect their daily life?
For me, if the minister did not look at the issue of free education, I would really not even read this budget.
Yeah.
What came out quite strongly for me is the allocation for kickstarting this free education. Trust me, yeah, this initiative, it is a game changer.
Mm.
It is a game changer because we are seeing now a government putting action to the words. So the government announced that come next year, free education, and this is it. Money is there. There will be some teasing issues here and there at the beginning. There's some questions because every time something new is done, there's always questions. There's always skepticism. There's always fear of the unknown. But at least government has shown that it is really serious with this free education. And here is the money. So first quarter, we are going to see a new cohort entering into the system with subsidized free education. And for me, this is a game changer.
Well, if say for example you could advise the Minister of Finance right now, what would be your advice for her?
For me, my biggest advice, my number one advice to the Minister of Finance, is to really look into the matter of execution.
Mm.
If it requires that we relook and review our procurement policy to fast track procurement processes, I think this will take us very, very far in no time because we cannot continue to reallocate money that is earmarked for projects back to operation. It says a lot about the budget credibility. It says a lot about the confidence. You know, we begin to, it erodes confidence in our budget if we every time we move the goalpost, for the lack of better word.
Yeah.
People will begin to ask, but your assumptions, why do you budget on the assumption that you are not very robust. So, and I'm glad that this time around, not really a lot of money has been reallocated from capital, from development to operation.
Yeah.
That shows that there is some work that's being done to really ensure that that budget, midterm budget review does not significantly change the face of the budget. And I'm happy that this is not an additional budget, but it's within the already projected budget, which is really an element of hope for those that are worried about the budget credibility, to say that, look, we are not changing the global ceiling because we don't want to an additional budget.
Yeah.
We are trying to maintain prudential standards. So whatever we do, we're going to do it within this ceiling, and that's it. So it is really, for me, a good thing. And I would encourage the minister, I would encourage everyone that is involved to just press on, because the budget is the heart of fiscal policy.
Yeah, and
it needs to be guarded.
Now, looking ahead, as an economist, what will you be watching most closely as we move now into the next fiscal year?
The revenue. I want to see what plans NAMRA has to counter the shortfalls. I want to see how soon will those new tax reform proposal will be implemented, because many times when we talk about budget, we focus mainly on where the money is going, not where the money is coming from.
Yeah.
We need to ensure that money keeps coming so that the budget can be implemented successfully. And we also need to begin to think about getting a plan B or an alternative revenue stream to support the SACU. Of course, we know that the SACU revenue stream contribute plus minus 35% as a single budget line. We need to find various alternatives. And I should mention here the work, great work that NAMRA has done in the shortest period of time. We have seen them really reaching some of those revenue targets, which is really providing comfort to the minister to say, okay, I think things are happening now. So I'm going forward, I will be looking to see how the revenue dynamics changes, and I hope to see some serious improvements in that space, because this is very, very crucial. It's very key to successful fiscal policy implementation. Without robust income or streams, the budget can be compromised very seriously.
So, any other information that maybe I haven't asked you that you deem to be important for our listeners on the budget review?
I just encourage fellow Namibians to get involved. These things are not for government, are not for politics, they are for everyone.
Yeah.
They must begin to ask questions, where is their voice in the budget? So if I'm coming from Okangwati, where is Okangwati in the budget? Was I consulted? Did I do something to ensure that I'm consulted? I'm talking about participatory process. And for young people, I expect them to even be more participatory. Look, we know now of the Youth Development Fund, and there is so much information and so much misinformation about that fund, of which the youth must be able to have first-hand information so that they increase their participation.
Yeah.
How much was dispersed so far, which projects, and all those kind of things, so that in the next round of the disbursement, you the number of youth must grow.
Yeah.
We must position ourselves to benefit from some of these initiatives. The reason sometimes they pass us by is maybe we don't have information. We don't know about it, and we need to start participating at grassroots level so that we know how to influence these resources to come our way. Then we can also participate in the mainstream economy. Yeah?
All right, Molly, that was really, truly insightful. You have helped unpack not just the numbers, but the story behind them, story of choices, trade-offs, and resilience in tough times. And thank you for joining us today on Unpacking the Day.
Always a pleasure. Have a good day.
Same to you.
Bye.
All right. That's Molly Lukikena. Giving us the download of the budget review that was tabled yesterday. You know, so you're most welcome to come through. We have still about 12 minutes, so I'm gonna give each one with about just 2 minutes. You can come and say whatever you have to say in 2 minutes, so that I give enough people, you know, time. Good morning. I'm just giving you 2 minutes.
Yes, morning, Dr. Meg. How are you?
I'm fine. And yourself?
Nah, it's all right, my brother.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oof, about the budget.
Yes.
Yeah. You see, Mike, I think the budget is well stipulated.
Yeah.
Especially regarding the to free education, which I think is a good thing which is done. But me and my concern also with the other caller.
Yeah.
The previous, before we go to the interview.
Yeah. The because one in terms of that free education for...
Yeah. That, yeah, you know, this is not supposed to, like, a minister kid to benefit and the directors and the what? Principal.
Mm.
But for me, it's good because even though the previous, when it was people who used to get grants, remember, those are, most of the people who are getting grants are minister kids who are going to study outside and then never return home.
Yeah, but the issue is that, with that,
yeah,
there are really, how would I say, things that one really need to go into, which become more difficult in determining who can now, who is employed and who is not, who shouldn't be qualified, his children to go to university. You understand? Let's say, for example, I'm a principal. How many people that are under me, for example, maybe that I'm taking care of?
Yeah, so, that is the one thing again.
Yeah, so how many people that I'm taking care of? Maybe I'm taking care of an extended family. Now you just me as a principal, but then you decide, you are a principal, your child shouldn't be going. Maybe also, how many children do I have? Maybe I have 15.
That is an issue, issue.
So that becomes a little bit difficult. I understand, but
It
becomes in managing and determining who should, when you are employed, whose child should be going to university, then it becomes a little bit difficult. Yeah.
Yeah, but for my short notes, is that for me, it's a good thing that at least a poor person kid can attend the university now.
Yeah.
Well, I'm talking about even the security guard and cleaners.
Yeah.
To come to taxi drivers and everybody. Is kid able to go? Yeah. Because this registration was registration fees. It was another issue. Which was hammering people to go, not to attend university, but they are qualified.
Okay. Let's see how many we can give time. Okay.
Exactly. All right.
All right, man.
But okay, quickly. But the budget.
Yeah.
The budget, ne? Yeah. I think it's good, but it's a hard time. I think the return from the Minister of Education and the Minister of Health, they must come up with a good project where they can generate income, seriously.
Yeah, it's about output now. So
we
need to see what is this money doing. Yeah.
Exactly.
As you said, yeah.
Mm. All right.
All right. A very good morning to you. Any reaction to the interview? Good morning. You got 2 minutes. How are you?
Good morning, Mike.
How are you, man?
I'm great, Daniel.
I'm all right.
9% cut from capital project.
Yes.
To cover free education. The 9% will also have a negative effect on school activities, adequate classrooms, furnitures, road accessibility, waters, and electricity.
Yeah.
Okay. That is what that means in details. If people doesn't understand what that say, that means, or is it selective?
So, well, Molly said this in as economists, they look at this as a trade-off. So there's something that you sacrifice in the moment for a better good in the future.
Okay, you know, the other thing that I wanted to say is that, Mike, you cannot be in the position to do something for others, but you don't consume that.
You don't do what?
But you don't, okay, you are actually cooking food.
Yeah.
For us, but you don't eat that food.
Yeah.
Will you perfect that?
So, are you saying Opulunga kwita for an okonendisi?
No. What I'm saying is, the exemptions.
Yeah.
Of government employers, or let me say, how do we call them? The other name?
Civic servant?
Yeah, from their own product.
Yeah.
It's completely wrong.
Mm.
Let us take, for example, the hospitals.
Yeah.
A doctor or a minister, a child of a minister, when that child is sick, is not admitted in that hospital. She goes to the private hospital. But her mother or his father is responsible to make sure that department of the government avails services which is adequate and full in quantities, so that each and everybody can go there. But they don't go there.
But that's what now the president and it's trying to change, where he said from next year, you know, especially when it comes to medical services, we should
even schools officials. Everything. Government must consume their own food.
Exactly. So.
Yeah. Why should they go and say, no, I have no. They must consume their own food. If it's bad, they must just swallow that bitter pills.
Yeah. So that's what.
There should be a difference between a government and private. Let private be on their own.
Yeah.
Once you go out of the government and become private, you can go there. You have every right to go there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because even the government even paying a lot of money to make sure that those people, especially when it's come to private schools and private health, whatever. You can take that money and bring it back here.
Yeah. So let's see how many we can fit in 5 minutes more. All right.
All right. Thank you, boss.
Thank you.
Okay.
08-08-666-091, 08-666-099. We still have about 5 minutes. We can still fit in 2 people. You can come through if you want to react on the interview or overall on the budget. Your take on the budget overall. So 08-666-091. So you may come through. All right.
Omudia with the Kirokaguna, E. Matina, Omjo. Chicago Shafas and Anana, Longishifa, Yai, Shuika Moshiwana, E. Moyao, or Tango Samweni, Anagashifa, Yanamibia, Ombitom Banawa, Orangika, Saisanina, Omeaguro, Nidanitoma, Yue, Yongishifa, Yokupira, Mo Ikelefem Media House, Gue 20 Pimeha, Uka Kombanga Nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yo mo programa detu. Moambo dengera selma konara heta tuimu. Datu heari hamano tano o liaj. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
That's true. Our time is about 57 minutes past the hour of 9. And you still have about 2 minutes. If you want to be the last caller, you know, to come through, please do so. And you can have your reaction or your contribution this morning. So our telephone number is 08-333-66-091, 08-333-66-091. So Well, as we said, and from the discussions, and from the budget itself, Namibia find itself in a really financial balancing act, where trying to meet public needs without really, piling on more debt. Okay, so and Meme Shafuda's strategy shows a caution and also really compassion, looking at the human capital, so and also focusing where the need where there is a real need. Yeah, so those are some of the issues, the challenges ahead. It's not about cutting or adding more. It's about finding the growth model, as I said earlier on, that also Molly talked about, that what he's looking forward is that he'll see how we can lift revenue more sustainably, where the money comes from, not only how the money is spent, but also looking at where are the money come from. So looking at a better way, maybe we can now be able, because without money coming in, you can have all the budget, you can have, projections and proposals as much as you want. But, if you don't have money coming in, then it's not going to be. So it's looking at through whether it would be tax compliances, whether it would be now, industrial expansions, or even we talked earlier about smarter public spending. So those are some of the things maybe now our government need to focus on. So, all right. So as I said, as citizen, this is our conversation too. And wherever you find yourself, make sure that you discuss this in your home, in your offices, because every line in the national budget reflects a choice about our shared future. So that's all what we have for you this morning on Unpacking the Day. Let's do this tomorrow again at the same time, from 8 o'clock until 10 o'clock. Now I'm going to hand over the mic to the colleague in Windhoek, specifically to Tate France, coming up with Kutha Mosha. So I'm going to leave you in a very, very capable hand, and until tomorrow. So have a good day. Whoa, my tongue. All right, bye.